Have you got your cup of Yorkshire on hand?
He's actually in a Yorkshire tea cup as well.
Okay, here we go. Welcome back to the special edition of Clan Chat, the Matt Hayward testimonial special, and we're speaking to the man himself, finding out why he's picked the guys he's picked for his big night on Tuesday the 4th of February. Moving on down the roster, we go to Stefan Meyer. I know Stefan's a huge pal of yours, of course. Stefan, he was only here last year to be on the Wall of Fame. It was always kind of happening, that one, wasn't it? I think Stefan was always very confident he was coming back. You kept your promise with him.
I don't think the fans would have come to the game if Stefan Meyer wasn't going to be that. Yeah, he's, again, another no-brainer. He's a huge part of this club. Him and Matt Keith were a deadly, deadly combination together, and two big presences that really really showed on the ice. And just the both, I was actually sandwiched in between those two big guys in the room, so I couldn't get away. And hopefully he's bringing a couple of tubes of deep heat with him, because that's all he used to use during the season when he was playing. So might take a few more for him to get mobile again this time.
He told me he always found it funny, funny in a good way, of course, about your love of tea. You were always there with your cup of tea, and I think that's been a theme throughout doing all these interviews, speaking to these guys as well. As a guy from Alberta, this was just something he hadn't come across before.
Well, I could say the same about chewing tobacco, but my tea is the chewing tobacco. It's just something that calms me down.
He also spoke of your mutual love of country music. You spoke earlier about your dodgy, inverted commas, taste of music with the 90s sort of boy bands and stuff like that, but country music as well.
I think just being around all these North American guys coming over, and once they have a couple of drinks and there's a speaker around, they always throw it on, and it's pretty easy listening music, and I've ended up just really liking it. And when I met Jenny, she had a liking to it as well, which is obviously in Scotland is pretty rare to find. So yeah, we that is our guilty pleasure. Actually, we do love a bit of country music, even though we're living in a city in Scotland. We like hearing about tractors, trucks, and bamboos.
And you've been a Yorkshire boy as well.
Yeah, it should be more like ale, drink, tea, and flat caps, really.
But I think what struck me in speaking to Mizey, and you know, you found out with one or two other guys as well, is the real close bond you have with these guys, and the fact that you have kept in touch since these guys have left and moved on and everything else. But Mizey in particular was one that struck me, knowing how close you are. Scott Arson's different, he's only up the road, but Mizey has only been back for that brief time for the Wall of Fame last year as well. What's so special about Mizey and your relationship with him?
I just think that he never took the game too seriously, like me. I don't really get so hyped if I don't know. I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but if we're on a bad period or something, he doesn't get too down. He doesn't get too. He's got quite an experienced head on him, and we're quite similar in that way. So we tried lifting the spirits in the rooms and stuff. And I also actually I do want to say that if we did ever hang out, well, when we did hang out away from the rink, those couple of seasons, it wasn't just the guys, it was the guys and their wives, and they were always really accommodating to have us over for a drink or a meal or something. So it makes it a lot easier when the whole family likes to spend time with them rather than just the one guy.
Next guy on the list is a man still playing but doesn't play for the Clan anymore, Zach Sullivan. Everybody loves Sully. Who doesn't love Sully?
Yeah, just move on from Sully.
Now, he spoke about the first time he met you, and I think you were at a coaching camp or something together. I think you're laughing, you heard the interview, when he came over to introduce himself, and you just sort of went, yeah, okay, and then walked away and did something
this is
else.
This is not true.
Go on, let's have your side of it then. What happened?
Basically, he was at the Best of British camp in Sheffield, and I just went on for a pre-season skate. The Sheffield Steelers and the Simmers, as they were, the Steel Dogs now, but they would hire an hour out and just do a scrimmage. So I went through for that one time, and then I think I was in the shower, or just about to get in the shower, out of the shower, and he came up and he said, like, introduced himself, and I'm pretty sure I said, hi mate, how are you doing? But he's got a different version of it, and I think he's lying, just so he sounds cool.
He was always saying you two were ribbing each other about your different taste in sports. I think we all know you're a big cricket fan. Silly likes his tennis as well. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm a big tennis fan, but I think that the big thing we were ripping each other about is his unnecessary love for Nadal, whereas I was winding him up saying that Federer was way better, and he didn't really take it as a joke, I think. I think his love for Nadal is greater than most things.
Yeah, I found that with Silly. He and I have got into conversations before about who the best footballer is between Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, so I can relate to you on that one.
Who does he say?
He says Ronaldo. I think Messi.
I knew he would say Ronaldo.
But again, talking about Sully as a player and as a teammate, he's another guy who became a good pal of yours as well. What did he bring to the team, you know, from your point of view as his teammate?
He just brought just a work ethic again. Like, he really wanted to succeed, even if things weren't going right, or he didn't get played in his first season. He didn't get much ice time to start with, but he definitely stuck with it, and he wanted to prove people wrong, and I like that about him. If the coach didn't like him at first, then he would work harder. He wouldn't go into his shell, and he would definitely push himself to work harder. And it's a fantastic trait to have in anybody. But although he might be grumpy 90% of the time, he's doing it for the right reasons, and he's got a heart of gold. Bless him. He'll do anything for you.
He said something here which leapt out at me. Let me just read it back to you. He said you gave him all sorts of advice when he first moved to Scotland, and that you're definitely smarter than you look. And I should counter that by adding, what he means by that is that you say the right things at the right time, and it goes a long way. So he was paying you a backhanded compliment and then had to explain it. So
that's the Sully all over, isn't it? can't let you get too high. Can't let you get. He has to keep you grounded.
Right, we're moving on to our next man who's coming back, and this guy's actually making a comeback to play, and he's took some time out to do his studies in law, and it's Josh Greaveson. Josh, of course, played for us in 2017-18 under John Tripp, and then had a two-way deal with Solway. How come Josh is coming back? How close are you with him?
Yeah, really close. Obviously, Gary and Charlotte, he's obviously Charlotte's brother. Obviously, he's engaged to Gary, getting married this summer, and we do spend a lot of time with each other, coming around for meals, and we go around to there. So the kids, Sophia and Charlie, are quite close, so they like hanging out, and I think Josh is living there to do his schooling this year at Gary's, so we do hang out. He's there, and I feel like he didn't get a fair crack at the clan. I feel like he wasn't really used as much as he should have been, and I think he deserves this chance to like, that I wanted to show him that I appreciate his friendship, and that I want to give him a good night at Brayhead. So hopefully he comes and enjoys himself.
I mean, he told me he's obviously put his career on hold while he does his studies in law, and obviously that's a huge thing for him to go into. Can you see him making a comeback as a player? He's still only 22 years old, so I mean, he's still got plenty of time in him.
Yeah, I think if he's that type of guy that has got the drive, and if he wants to do something, he will, and puts his mind to it, he will achieve it. I think he's got to get his ankles better. He's only just had his second ankle surgery, so hopefully he's good enough to play now in this game. But yeah, I 100% can see him back if that's what he wants to do. If his career allows him just to play at Solway, or if it allows him to play any higher level, then I'm pretty sure he's capable of whatever he wants to do.
He spoke of a picture. I think you guys were shooting a calendar. There's one of you with Sully and Josh, and apparently the picture catches him looking like a fish. What do you remember about that?
It was the do you remember the goal celebrations thing, the gifts we do? Yeah, it was that we were shooting a green screen at the start of the year, and he was sweating. Bless him, he didn't know what to do. He was one of the last ones, so everyone was kind of watching him. So he didn't really have anything in his mind. So me and Sully just thought it'd be quite funny if we just went and picked him up and paraded him like a bit of a trophy fish.
I think I remember that now when I think about it. Okay, next one is number 14, Mike Will, who's coming back, and Mike's still very popular among the older fans. He's went away, played for Cardiff and Guildford as well. I take it that was a bit of a no-brainer in getting Mike back with his association with the club, and obviously the extra stuff he did off the ice as well.
Yeah, I think he just hit the nail on the head there. I think he was more than just a goalie for this team. I think he was running all the school programs, and he's a definite social butterfly in the room and like around town. So I think he's an admired man around Glasgow, and I'm glad he's coming back up for it. I'm glad he can find time from his busy schedule shooting New York from helicopters and women in Thailand or whatever he's shooting these days. But I'm glad he can squeeze us in for a few days.
I mean, he spoke very highly of you, and he also spoke of the reaction on social media. He's been following it, like we all have as well. And he says that's very representative of the feeling that everybody's got about you. Mike was a lovely guy, certainly from my time first getting involved with the club, even now, speaking to him nowadays as well. What was he like in the locker room? Was he quite a quiet guy, or was he a little bit more personality about him? I don't mean that in a bad way.
I think I could say he'd have a bit more of a personality about him. I think everyone who spoke to Mike knows he's a talker, and he's a cheeky chappy, and he's definitely got a way with words. He can talk himself out of any situation. I feel he's got the gift of the gab, doesn't he? But he's a super nice guy, and he's, even now, he's every time we talk, he asks how Charlie and Jenny are, and he just wants to know everybody's okay up here, and it's lovely to be friends with somebody like that.
You think he misses Glasgow?
I think being at Guildford really helps his other career. I think the club down there, he's been very complimentary of how much they're allowing him to do his photography, and I think he's enjoying the fact that his London is his central base. So I do think he misses Glasgow in terms of hockey and the lifestyle up here. But I think for his career and his other job, I think Guildford's pretty suited to him right now.
Okay, and we move on to number 15 on the list. Now, we're getting there. We're getting there with these. And it's Shane Lust, who's coming back. Only played for a season between 2013 and 2014. Arrived from France and then went on to play at Dundee Star. Shane is an assistant coach nowadays. Why Shane? Why bring Shane back and what he can bring to the game on the 4th of February?
I thought Shane, first of all, Shane has probably been one of the most ones that I've kept in touch with since he played here. I think he spoke about that in his podcast, that we've got a bit of a group chat from that season. There's five or six of us, and we're all pretty active on it still, even to this day. But yeah, he's definitely been one of the ones that has kept in touch, and will just text me out of the blue, just chirping me about the game or whatever. If I score a goal, he's the first one to come on and say, "Oh, it must have been a tap in or something like that." But I think he was a very underrated player for us. I think he scored just under a point a game, and he was actually a natural goal scorer, which people might forget because he was only there for one season. But I think that he'll be one of the ones to watch on the night, that's for sure, because he's only one that's been on the ice for a while.
Now, Shane, of course, was very good friends with Jade Galbraith. Jade, we all remember from season two. And he says he had a bit of an advantage because he already knew who you were. Had Jade given you the heads up on Shane?
No, he should have done, though, shouldn't he? Listen, Lusty's a larger-than-life character, and you definitely know he's in the room. He's a lot like Jade, actually. He's quite outgoing and loud, but he's always smiling, always laughing. He's got that one of those laughs that you know he's in the room when he's laughing. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, very similar to Jade, and he's got a heart of gold like Jade too. It must be the area they're from.
And what does it mean to him, for him to be coming back? Obviously, he only spent the 1 year, but it was clearly a very memorable time for him. He had that other year in Dundee as well, which we won't talk about. But it must be nice for him to be coming back and being among so many guys that he knows.
Yeah, I think I'm actually just messaging him right now. He's saying that he's super excited just to see everybody again, and also meet people that he knows I think very highly of. I think he might have met Keith or Maisie once or twice from when he did play for Dundee, but I know he's looking forward to meeting Jordan Kristanovic and a couple of the Brits again. So, he's texting me a lot, so he must be excited.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
Welcome back to Clan Chat, the Matt Heywood testimonial special. We're speaking to Mr. Clan about the players he's brought back for his big game on the 4th of February. Getting near the end now, there's only a handful of guys left as we look at the roster, the all-star roster that's going to be taking part in the game, and a few other things besides. Matt, still with us, still hanging on in there?
Still going, yes.
Good man. Okay, on to player number 16, who was announced, and it was Alex Levitt. Alex, of course, recently had another addition to the family. He's very excited to be coming back. And, of course, he's got a bit of a beef with Scott Pitt. What did you make of that?
I loved it, I'm gonna be honest. They obviously was joking, but
I think he just picked Pity because he's obviously, I think he said in his podcast that he's, no one expected him to pick Pity. I think he just panicked and picked the nicest guy he could think of. But yeah, I don't think there's actually there's much beef, but I think something might happen at the game.
Are you prepared to referee it just in case?
Oh, I won't be refereeing it. I'll be urging them both on, I think.
Of course, Alex played for a couple of years between 2015 and 2017. Scored a lot of points. Was very frequent in that front as well. What kind of character was he like in the locker room when you think back?
I think we all know what Levy's like. He's one of those guys again, larger than life, and always found the funny side of things. And obviously a fantastic player, very naturally gifted player, and I think his CV speaks for itself. He's played in some very, very high leagues, and he obviously did really well for us in the Champions League and for the couple of years after.
And he kept saying he was beyond excited to be coming back. He couldn't speak highly enough about the excitement he had in coming back. Has that been relayed in the group chat as well?
He's been the main contributor of that group chat. I think 6 months before he retired that season, he was telling me that he's coming back for this testimonial, and this was before I was even thinking about getting one. So I don't know how many years ago he retired. What is it, 4 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's always been pestering me for 4.5 years about this game. So once I finally announced it, he was one of the first ones to ask me when the date was. And we didn't think he could make it because of his newborn. But yeah, she came in time, thankfully. And thankfully they're all healthy, and he's managed to be able to squeak away for a few days.
Okay, on to the next guy, and it's a guy you know very well, probably more than a lot of the guys on this roster. You can tell me differently. It's your brother Lee. Lee's yep. The one guy who hasn't played for the Clan, who's coming to play in the game. How much of an influence was he in your career growing up?
Yeah, he was probably the biggest influence on my career. I think whether we were just out in the back garden playing or whatever, he's the guy I always wanted to beat when we were practicing, whatever we were doing. But we were never actually really in the same team. I think we only ever played in the same team for 2 seasons, and one was under-19s and one was the EPL year we had together, and we obviously haven't played together again since for 10 years, minus one charity game we had about 8 years ago.
Now, I asked him about the sibling rivalry, and you always expect a bit of competitiveness between a couple of brothers, certainly in your case, but he said that wasn't really the case at all. Do you remember it being that way?
Yeah, it definitely was sibling like rivalry where we would fight and argue and whatever. We were definitely competitive wherever we were playing tennis, cricket, whatever sport we were playing. We wanted to beat each other, and I mean maybe we had a couple of fights, but I don't think it was anything sibling rivalry where if he was doing better in his games than I was doing, I wasn't jealous. I was wanting him to do as well as he could do, and I'm 100% positive that he felt the same about me. We're super proud of his career as well as my own.
Now, I was disappointed with Lee, and I'll tell you why. When I spoke to him and asked him to sort of come up with a couple of memories, about you growing up and things like that, and obviously he's in a better position than a lot of guys, maybe referencing your childhood, and he never dug the dirt. He never dug the dirt on you at all. He said he was proud of you. He said a whole load of nice things. Not what I was expecting at all. I mean, what's going on there?
It's the nice guys you've got to suspect, Craig. That's the thing.
But again, just being serious for a second, how nice is it for him to be able to be part of this game with you? You've talked about, I think you've based the All-Stars on guys that have had an influence on your career in one way or another. And you've already spoke about that with Lee. So how nice is it going to be to share the ice with him at least one more time?
Yeah, I think it might be the last time, because I think obviously our careers might be coming down to the end. I know he's a bit further down that line than I am, but it's going to be so good to have him there just to go through it all with me and experience the whole night together, really. I think that's the main thing. I think as much as it's a celebration of me, it's definitely a celebration of the club. I think it's more important to be a celebration of the club. I think that the 10 years is about the club, and to have my brother out there on the ice with all these household names that we've had over the 10 years, it's going to be very special, that's for sure.
So on to the next one. Second last is Ash Goldie, and he was announced I think in the last couple of weeks or so. And Ash, of course, played for the club for 2 years between 2012 and 2014. Warmly remembered, certainly my recollection of him. How much of a, again, another player who was a big influence on you as well, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, definitely. He's he was the captain when he came, and he was the captain for two seasons, I think, and just before Matt Keith came, and he was the guy that back then we didn't have many family guys on the team. We only had two or three, and he was the one that wife and the kid, and he was the one that everyone kind of looked up to in that team, and seemed to have his life figured out at that point, which is more to say than the rest of us. Hockey wise, yeah, he was that level headed guy that you could always count upon, and would always pop up with that big goal whenever you needed it, and it would probably always be a half slap shot, high glove that he's going to score it as well. So he was definitely a role model for me, being a smaller guy like I am. How he used that, I definitely was watching him and took quite a few pointers on how to avoid getting hit and use it to your advantage.
You also referenced that Buzz Lightyear costume. I think you and Mike Will had went halfers on and bought for his little boy. Do you remember that?
I do actually. Now you just said that. Yeah, I do remember that. We all went round for Hunter's second birthday party, and I think me and Wilsie did go halves on a costume, and I think Hunter did wear it for a while. But what I do want to say is, do you remember Aidan Fulton?
Yeah,
he spent so much money on this Hulk doll. It must have been about 2 feet tall. And it was the best thing I've ever seen. Like, it was movie quality. And he showed it to Hunter, and Hunter just ran off screaming, crying. Apparently he hated the Hulk.
If he didn't, he did then.
Yeah, so it must have been as big as Hunt's was. So just probably a little bit smaller than Charlie is now. And so he must have spent so much money on this Hulk thing, and Aidan's face was a picture. Like, he just made the 2-year-old whose party it was just cry, just ruin the whole day.
Oh dear. Now, of course, going back to Ash, of course, you've talked about how big an influence he was as well, and him coming back to Glasgow. Do you get a sense of how special it is for him as well? He ended his career here. He had a lot of good times. I know he was friends with Jordan Kristanovic, who brought him to Glasgow as well.
Yeah, I think he really enjoyed his time here. I think he was very quick to say that he wants to come, and he's made a lot of sacrifices to get over, which I'm very grateful for, and I can't thank him for enough. I think he's coming over with Nicole and like his kids, so I think they're all looking forward to getting over, and they're going to show Hunter where he used to live, and show the other two his second and his third, Kinsey and the Bear, as he's known. He's going to show them around Glasgow and talk them through everything they did here, so I think they're beyond excited to come over here.
And on to the last guy on the All-Star register, and you saved him for last. You had him sweating over whether or not he was going to play. It's your coach, of course, Zach Fitzgerald. And you've got him on the All-Star team playing against the current team. What was the thinking behind that?
I just think everyone thought he was going to be the bench coach of the current team. So, I wanted to make sure that he wasn't just known for being a coach for this club. He was a huge personality when he first signed under Finner, and then obviously when he signed back last year under Pete, he was, everybody knows Fitzy, everyone knows he's coming into the room or into the rink, because he's always loud, he's always happy, he's always honking. And yeah, his personality is clear for everybody to see it, and he's a big teddy bear as well when it comes away from the rink. He's the first person to ask how Jenny and Charlie is, and obviously with having a Finlay himself, he's got a bit mushy when it comes to, I'm sure he'll be letting paint his nails when it comes down to it in a couple of years' time.
He said to me when we spoke about his involvement in the game, he says, "I can't wait to play against my team. They have no idea what's coming for them." I mean, that must be a little bit worrying, surely, given that Fitzy's not afraid to get stuck in when he has to.
Hey, listen, Fitzy's got a lot more skill than what you think. I think you might find that he might be one of the most skillful players out on that ice.
Of course. But when you look at the whole team, you know, and the names we've read out and spoke about as well, they've all come from far and wide to be here. That must be humbling for you, the fact that these guys are taking the time out of their schedules, out of their lives to all come together for what's going to be an amazing occasion.
Yeah, it's extremely humbling. Like, I can't, and like I said earlier, that the fact that they did it willingly and actually very easily, with it being on a Tuesday, I obviously had to take a lot of time off work, and and I'm forever grateful that they've even made the effort to come over. And I can't thank each and every one of them enough. Even like the British guys that live locally, like Barry and Adam, they'll be taking time off work too, and it's greatly appreciated by not only me but my entire family.
I'm Craig Peacock, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
So naturally, with the organisation of games like this, Matt, obviously we've talked about the guys that you are bringing. There's bound to be some that, for whatever reason, couldn't make it. They've got other things on, work commitments, etc. Are you able to give us an insight into just who couldn't quite make it?
Yeah, obviously, Benny Davis was going to come. He can't make it because he's got GB commitments and things, and I think he was... looking at flights up after his practice on Tuesday, and obviously, but he can't make it, which is a shame. Input wise, a couple of people couldn't make it. Fritchie and Salts both working, and both were trying the hardest to get it off, but they couldn't, which unfortunately they couldn't make it. But as I would love to have brought 25 of my friends over from Canada or whatever and done it, but I've had to been a bit like a wedding where you can't invite everybody, I'm afraid. And I've had to, like you said earlier in this podcast, I've had to pick people that's been a big influence on my life and my career.
Now, I'm not going to get you to name any names, but, you know, again, referencing it to a wedding and the fact that, you know, we've had that situation where you're torn between choosing someone for the full day or choosing someone for the nighttime reception. There's got to be some people that have been upset along the way as well. Without naming names, I'm not going to put you in that position, but that's bound to have happened, surely. Law of averages and all that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wish, like I just said, I wish I could bring everybody over, and in an ideal world I can, but we are footing this ourselves, and money doesn't really grow on trees. We had a budget, and we had to stick to that budget. So, unfortunately, I have to say some people miss out, but we couldn't get everybody across. So I had to make a few Sophie's choices and just roll with it, and hopefully they understand.
Now I want to ask about the format of the game, and that came out there a little while ago. The All Stars team against the current Clan team. Now, period one, period three as normal, and then the skills competition in between. Can you give us little bit more on what that's going to involve, the skills competition?
Well, I can't divulge too much because it's still in the works, but I don't think it's going to be it's not going to be NHL quality skills competition. I think I'm going to throw a few fun ones in there as well as actual skill. I think I might do a backwards fastest lap just to see if anyone can actually skate backwards and things like that. But as for the other three or four or five, whatever, how many we're going to do, some will be serious, some will be a bit more on the relaxed side. And I think we're going to do it so whoever wins skills competition, the round will win a point, will win a goal for the team. So it's going to actually matter for the game purposes, if you follow me.
Good. Another thing you were wanting to talk about was the jerseys. They've been released. Everybody's seen what they look like. It looked absolutely cracking. They do as well. White and black. And you were keen to talk about the design a little bit. Give us a bit of insight into the design and what made you come to that.
Well, actually, first of all, I want to say thanks to Chris Ward and Dave, because they've really helped me design these jerseys, and obviously Warrior for doing them for me. And I didn't want a traditional testimonial t-shirt. It was just a plain colour with the logo on that wasn't very exciting or whatever. I think that I wanted like a winter classic sort of theme where it was a bit old school, a bit like a retro sort of jersey in football. And I also wanted to keep it quite clan related because I want people to feel comfortable wearing it to real season games after and not stand out in a bright yellow one or a pink or whatever, do you know what I mean? And I wanted to keep it pretty clan colours. And I think we've achieved it with a pretty simple design, but I think it looks quite effective. And I think the black ones have got five rings on each arm that obviously signify the 10 years.
There we go. Good thinking. So let's just finish up then. We talked back at the start of the podcast about Jenny's role in helping you organise this thing, and you said she's done a lot in helping pull all this together. But the general support of your family as well, not only for this game, but throughout your career as well, how have they pushed you, encouraged you throughout your life to the point where you're at now?
I think my parents I can't speak highly enough about my parents. They wanted me to play as long as it was fun as I was growing up. They never put any pressure on me to be the best player in the team. I didn't have to do extra. You know what I mean? They let me do what I wanted to do. If I wanted to go and do extra, they would be more than accommodating for me to go extra. And I know that my dad worked full time, and my dad worked full time over 2 hours away, and my mum worked two jobs just to pay for me and my brother to play, which is expensive to play, as everybody knows. It's £60-70 a month or whatever it was back in the 90s, 2000, so I can only imagine it's even higher now. But they also worked overtime, they also did extras so we can go on these trips with everybody when we were in the conference, when we were in regionals, when we were going for England trials, whatever we might have done. They always found a way to give us the best we can go without actually putting pressure on us to be the best. If we came home and we had a bad game, they wouldn't really let us get too down on ourselves and stuff, just reminding us it was just a sport and whatever. But so I think that's really carried forward to me, that it definitely puts life into perspective if we have a bad game, that it's not done on purpose, and obviously you've got another game to put it right. And since meeting Jenny, and we've got our own little family now, and Jenny's parents have been unbelievably supportive of me. They've welcomed the sport and me, which is pretty much a package, with open arms. And I've actually deterred Jenny's dad away from a Motherwell season ticket to come into the Clan game. So yeah, again, both sides, my parents, obviously my brother and stuff, and my grandparents have always been there for us. And if my mum and dad couldn't make it, my grandparents would be the first ones to put their hands up and say, well, we'll take them to Sheffield, which was over half an hour away at that point. And now Jenny's my rock, especially this season when we've got so much going on. She's got her own job. She's got this testimonial thing going on, but she's always looking out for me. And when I've got a problem, captaincy-wise, if I think that I'm nervous about doing something captaincy-wise, she's always the one. She's always the wind behind my back. So she's always the one that pushes me to do stuff and makes me be the best person I can be. So I can't thank everybody around me enough, and I've got the best support system I could ever ask for.
And finally, as for the night itself, the main thing is obviously everybody has fun, from everybody on the ice with you to the people in the stands as well. Are you going to get emotional? Would you say this is going to be an emotional one for you?
I might have a couple of moments where I'm feeling a bit sad, but I think that, as I've said since day one, I'm not viewing this as a celebration of myself. I'm doing it as a celebration of the club. So I think that I'll probably get more teary-eyed thinking of how far the club's gone rather than myself. I think that I will have moments if I do a speech at the end, I'll speak about Jenny, and I'll speak about obviously my grandparents and stuff, and obviously mean a lot to me, and not around anymore. So I think that I might get a bit teary-eyed then. But again, I've got and when I'm thanking the fans, like, just to show them how much it actually means to me. I'm nearly so. Yeah, in answer to your question, I'm tearing up now. So yeah, I'm probably gonna get emotional on a night too.
I'll tell you what, we'll leave it there, Matt. It's been brilliant. It's been great to hear about why you've brought these guys back, and I'm sure on behalf of the fans, we're all looking forward to it. Thank you for your time. It's been fantastic.
No, thank you very much.
Hello, it's Jordan McLaughlin here, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
And that's it for the second part of our two-part Matt Haywood Testimonial Podcast special. Don't forget, those tickets are still available for the big night on Tuesday the 4th of February, so head on over to Ticketmaster to secure yours for what will be an amazing night. If you haven't already heard it, part one is out there as Matt talks to us about the guys he's brought back for the big night. Plenty of stories there from him. But get your tickets for the Glasgow Clan and Dundee Stars on Saturday, that's the 1st of February. Face off at 7 p.m. and get those now at clanihc.com. My thanks to Matt Haywood for his time on these podcast specials. My thanks also to producer Stuart Priest for putting them together. But for the latest news around Glasgow Clan, check out the website. Or if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ClanIHC. Leave a review as well. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and what you want to listen to. And I'm Craig Anderson, and we'll talk to you in another edition of Clan Chat very soon. Bye for now.